It was very, very confusing and not knowing what's going on. At the same time, I wasn't afraid because I didn't anything wrong. I feel horrible at the end when somebody start figuring out a little bit of what's going on.
And in fact, you did have a solid alibi because you were with your girlfriend and her sister at the time, right? But the police, for whatever reason, didn't really take that. Did they even record that testimony?
The police, you know, so immediately when Angel was taken in and able to understand some of the questioning, you know, he immediately told the police, I was with my girlfriend. My girlfriend's sister was there. One of the many tragedies in this case is that the police actually kind of used that against him and, you know, basically psychologically tormented him while they were interrogating him. And what they did was, you know, instead of actually going to Angel's girlfriend or the sister and asking, you know, was Angel with you at this time? The police left the interrogation room, left Angel alone in a room, you know, locked in this room in a paper jumpsuit, completely terrified, with the understanding that they were going to go talk to the girlfriend. But the police lied. They never really went to go ask her. And instead, they just came back about an hour later and said, we talked to your girlfriend and she said that you weren't with her. And so that was, you know, one element of this sort of, you know, psychological, you know, torture in a way that Angel suffered and ultimately led to him signing a statement in English, which, you know, he couldn't read at the time. But, you know, that sort of that was the road that led to him signing that statement, which implicated him in the crime wrongly.
Angel, while you were in prison, did you ever lose hope that someone would come to your aid and help you get out for a crime you didn't commit?
At the beginning, I believe I lost hope. I always remind myself I did not commit this crime. But after so many years go by, you start kind of wondering, what if nobody listened to me? If you feel like you're screaming to the world and nobody's listening.
How did you find out about the Innocence Project, and how did you get their help?
Well, there was, by word of mouth, some other inmates, they were familiar with the law, working in the library. Somebody told me maybe you need to write or call somebody, but at the time, I didn't even know how to write somebody. And there was a man by nickname OT, that he was my cellmate for a couple of weeks, and he helped me out to write the letter. Told me I can do the letter for you if you want me to. And the Innocence Project got back to me, and from there on, it seems like I start seeing the light again. I'm like, oh, okay, somebody's listening. Somebody finally is listening. But it took some time, and even at the end, you know, it was always like, what if there's not enough evidence?
Lauren, the Innocence Project gets tons of pitches from people who are incarcerated, way more than you probably even have the time to necessarily vet each one. How did Angel's case speak to you in a way that you decided this was something to pursue?
We were approached by the Innocence Project in New York, the national project, who had received Angel's letter, and they were interested in opening his case. They decided to take the case on, and then they reached out to us at the Illinois Innocence Project based on our experience with Illinois cases and asked us to do the case with them. But upon, you know, first reading, you know, the first few paragraphs of the, you know, factual summary of the case, it was clear that this was a case that really needed attention, you know, based on having sort of just all the hallmarks of a wrongful conviction. You have this really improper eyewitness ID procedure, this, you know, outrageously obtained, you know, quote, confession. And, you know, it just screamed out for this person is probably really innocent. And then the more we got to know Angel and hear the story directly from him, we knew he was innocent. We always believed in him. And luckily in his case, the state's attorney in Lake County agreed to DNA testing. And so the process went, you know, once they were approached in Lake County, the process went rather, you know, relatively quickly. And so testing was performed. And once the results came back, it was so clear cut that Angel was innocent. The state agreed to his release and was on board with us from that point.
One piece of this was eyewitness misidentification, correct? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
misidentification is the leading cause of wrongful conviction. And in Angel's case, you can see two of those, you know, the main problems with it. One is cross-racial identification. In this case, the victim was white and she had described her attackers as being Hispanic and, you know, Angel's Mexican. And then the other issue, and more significant in his case, is that it was a show up was conducted. And what a show up is different from a lineup, which most people are aware of. In a show up procedure, the victim or witness is just presented with one individual suspect and asked to say, is this the person who did this or not? In this case, it was one of the more egregious show ups that, you know, we've seen, where about 1 o'clock in the morning in Waukegan, just hours after this woman had been terrorized and is obviously under trauma and in shock, she was put in a police car and taken to the Lake County Jail, where she was told she was going to view a possible suspect in the crime. Now, the police had taken Angel from the location where they had initially picked him up and brought him handcuffed in the back of a squad car to that same location in front of the jail. So you have a victim sitting in a police car with a potential suspect pulling up in a police car in front of the jail, you know, the signals that that subconsciously sends to someone. And then Angel was removed from the back of that other squad car while the victim remained in the car that she'd been sitting in, and he was walked to the front of her car where they then turned the headlights on and he was illuminated by the headlamps of the squad car and lit up, you know, in a very drastic way in the middle of the night, and you know, being held there by a police officer who said, you know, is this the guy who did it? And she said, yes, that's him. But we know now without a shadow of a doubt that it was not Angel who did it. I mean, one thing that Angel has remarked on, and he could probably speak to today, is he was victimized in this, but that also the wrongdoing by the police in that instance really also re-victimized the victim. That, you know, she was, because of those actions, led to believe that he had committed this crime. And the whole time, the two people who actually committed it were making their way out of town. And, you know, to this day, no one knows who actually committed the crime. DNA testing was performed on multiple items, including swabs from a rape kit. Two distinct male profiles were obtained. We know the DNA of the two people who committed the crime. We just, you know, don't know their names.
So, Angel, for you, I'm sure in a way you feel like you kind of have your life back. What does the future hold? What do you look forward to now that you're out?
All I want to do is get involved with something positive to move forward. I would love to go to college to become a mechanic, not stop there, keep on moving, because the same way I received so much help from so many people, I got to do something to give back myself. I don't know how, I don't know where. Right now I'm kind of lost, and this is all new to me. But I believe with a little bit of guidance and a little bit of help here and there, I'll be fine. Thanks to all you guys.